Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we've been talking about it. You know, we've been picking apart things that probably are a waste of time, but nonetheless, the demeanor of the coach in both the post game and certainly yesterday, relatively positive. And I don't know that that everybody watching appreciated that. I think people wanted him to be a little bit more disappointed, a little angrier in the post game, and then maybe come back with the positivity. But he's a fairly consistent figure. Were you surprised at how tolerant he was of sort of some tough questions?
No, not at all. I think he tries to be pretty level in those settings. I mean, just just recall back to last season when they got in that six-game losing streak. I mean, he was pretty even the entire way in terms of you know the media availability and that type of thing. I remember when Lovie Smith was the head coach. You know, it was very difficult for you to get Lovie to kind of change his cadence or anything at all. And people complained that, you know, everyone wanted Mike Ditka back at the podium and they wanted that kind of guy. And Lovie had quite a bit of success doing it his way as the head coach. So I would imagine that, like nearly all coaches, what you see from the coach at the podium and then what you get in the meeting room are probably two different things at times, and because they're going to have some candid conversations with some of those players. You know, defensive starters, pretty much all of whom took off the voluntary offseason program, with the exception of Roquan Smith, they took off Sunday night in L.A. And am I suggesting that a couple days on the field in May and June would have made a difference for the week one game? No, but don't talk to me about buy-in and, you know how much they care when they take the voluntary part of the program off. You're not going to run that one past me.
From the top rope. All right.
Well,
that's
what?
Exactly right, Brad.
Totally true.
So tell me this. We use the word accountability a lot in sports. You write about it in this morning's Chicago Tribune. What does it mean at Halas Hall, and why does it matter this week that there is some after what we watched Sunday night?
Well, what does it mean at Halas Hall? It doesn't mean sweeping changes in the lineup, because they've got a 53-man roster and you can't make sweeping changes in the lineup. You know, Eddie Jackson's not going to lose his starting job because he's out there falling for the same move that Robert Tonyan ran on him in November back at Lambeau Field for a touchdown. Same concept, same play, and then doesn't touch down Van Jefferson after he'd slipped and went to the turf on that first strike for the Rams. So he's not gonna lose his job, but you know what? He probably needs to hear it in real plain terms how that's not acceptable play, right? I think that's the accountability. And then you're not on that all week. You have that meeting and then you move forward because you've got to put in all the preparation needed to beat a Bengals team that handled Minnesota in overtime on Sunday and got a good performance from another young quarterback in Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, Brad, that while you can't bench him, while you are committed to him, you know, you'd like to have a conversation with him. You'd like to believe that the coach can walk up to him and say, not good enough, son, and go over tape with him and talk about it. And the idea that even yesterday he hadn't had a conversation with him, that I think that riled some people. That upset some people. I'm not saying that you got to yell at everyone. Yeah, go ahead.
Players were off yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, the players were off yesterday.
There's a plane ride home. It was that egregious.
Yeah, and it was their plane ride home was in the middle of the night. Mine just felt like it was in the middle of the night. I think it'll take place. They probably, you know, maybe that's a situation where the coach wants to meet with the defensive coordinator first, make sure, you know, everything's on the same page. But this is a guy who got a massive contract extension after the conclusion of the 2019 season. Remember, he got paid in January of 2020. And they went in and they tweaked the numbers in that deal this year. Just moved money around basically for cap purposes to create some space. Eddie Jackson's cap number in 2022, guys, is more than $15 million when he's got $5 million of his salary guaranteed. I think the whole thing guarantees for injury.
Wow.
Before the start of next season. Wow. Cap number in 2023, more than $17 million. And then in 2024, it's more than $18 million. I mean, as currently, he's not playing anywhere near you'd want a safety to play with that, those kind of cap numbers in the future. We've seen him play really well for the Bears before. Tackling was an issue last season that he admitted it was an issue. Looked like it cropped up again Sunday night. But, I mean, he's not the only guy that had a poor game. You know, where was Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn? Where was the dominant performance you were hoping to see from the defensive line? It did a nice job against the running game until everyone in the building knew the Rams were going to run. And then Darrell Henderson through three quarters had like 7 carries for 12 yards, guys. And then it was just first down run, second down run. They move the chains. They do it over again. He ends up with more than 60 yards rushing in the game because he got loose in the fourth quarter. And don't tell me that defense was tired because the Rams were barely on the field. It was like 3-4 plays and they were in the end zone, right?
Right. Brad, moving to the offense, when Matt Nagy was asked directly on Monday about why Andy Dalton is the choice to continue to start over Justin Fields, I don't think he did a good job of articulating the reasons, because he has them, but I don't think he's communicated them well, or at least after Sunday nights. What do you think they are still, and do you think we'll see more of Fields in, I think, consecutive snaps and maybe for a series at a time?
Yeah, I think the next thing is probably like he goes on the field for, like you said, 2 or 3 plays. Does he get a full series? I don't know. A ton of other stuff has got to factor into that in terms of game situation and where you're at and what you want to accomplish. He got a little bit done Sunday night. He was out there just a little bit. You know, he completes the 1 RPO pass. I'm not sure they made the best decision when they went with that shovel pass. I think he had options on that play. He runs for a 3-yard touchdown. You know, you didn't see anything that you were like, boy, I can't believe this guy's on the field just based off those 5 snaps. So what are the reasons? I think it's Dalton's ability to operate the offense. He knows what he's going to see from the defenses, and Fields doesn't know that yet. And Fields, as we saw in preseason, probably isn't super comfortable operating from the pocket. So they're going to take some time with that. Obviously, they work on that in practice. He can learn from the sideline in the games. I mean, the great thing about him being – next to the coach, because he's going to be going into these games, is I think his learning rate is probably elevated on Sundays, even when he's not in there. But nothing happened Sunday night against the Rams, that would change that plan, right? That the plan that they have, and I realize that there's a vast majority of listeners that believe the plan is flawed, but they certainly would admit that nothing happened Sunday. If that plan is the thing that's in place, that is going to alter it this quickly.
Brad, we did not get an injury update on the left tackles, and you won't know anything until the injury report comes out on Wednesday. That doesn't bode well. I would imagine if they were jumping off the plane and feeling good, you'd have heard that, but that probably is not the case.
Well, your left tackle injury update is Tevin Jenkins is out indefinitely following back surgery. Jason Peters left the game with a quad. And, you know, I got a couple text messages during the game from guys with other teams that I had spoken to after the Bears signed Jason Peters. And it was, I think they felt bad for the Bears, but there was the I told you so element that there's no way this guy's going to last anywhere near to a full season, right? Who thought he was going to be out in the first half of game 1? Hopefully that's not serious. With Larry Borum, the rookie, who you figured was going to play sooner rather than later, I believe the fear with him, guys, is going to be a high left ankle sprain. Matt wouldn't talk about it yesterday. We'll see what update he provides, really, if any, tomorrow, but I think the fear, until we hear otherwise, the fear with Larry Borum is going to be a high ankle sprain. I believe it's the left ankle for him, rolled up from behind on that shovel pass. Same kind of play that resulted in a gruesome injury for Kyle Long, as you guys might remember, in a game in Tampa Bay back in the day. That was really the injury that sort of
beginning of the end
precipitated. Yeah, yeah, precipitated the downfall of Kyle when he had I think it was with Harvey Unga. I'm trying to remember who fell on his back. I mean, with other players. I mean, that was just a terrible injury. Fortunately, when you saw the thing with Larry, it didn't look good. Didn't look nearly as bad as what happened to Kyle Long.
Brad, so when the Bears get back on the practice field, you look at Marquis Christian. When they watch the tape, he gave up 5 catches from the nickelback spot. And I know he was targeted 6 times, and there was a challenge with Cooper Kupp. But is that an open job? Is that an open competition? Do they give him another chance?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned yesterday, guys, when you get 2 nickels, what do you have? And, well, you got about a dime, which is pocket change. I think we could see rotation in that nickel position throughout the season. You knew going into the game that whoever was lining up in the nickel for the Bears was going to face a very tough task. I would imagine Duke Shelley will get a chance here soon, if not this Sunday, in the near future, because he's not necessarily out of the team's plans yet, but it certainly doesn't bode well when he's the front runner in the competition, right? Throughout the offseason, preseason, all of that, because he's the guy that's been around. He's the guy that stepped in when Buster Skrien was injured last year, and he can't perform to a level to nail down that job going into week one. So, you know, I look at that cornerback position as a whole, and you had question marks coming into the season. And one of the big reasons why was you looked at that nickel position and you felt like it was unsettled, and it certainly looks unsettled with the Bengals preparing to come to town. Just guessing right now, I would think Duke maybe gets a shot this week.
I want to get back to Larry Borum. When you say high ankle sprain, that's a 6 to 8 week injury, right? I mean, that's not...
I don't know if it's... It's a long injury, though,
Brad.
Yeah. Oh, it could be... You could head to the IR, but the IR is certainly not as ominous as it used to be. Player right. only has to spend 3 weeks on it to return. So, you know, Elijah Wilkinson right now, until we hear differently, is probably the starting left tackle against the Bengals, and that's going to challenge the play caller and challenge the offense. You know, a lot of people complained Andy Dalton wasn't going deep against the Rams. Well, there are protection considerations that go with your play calling. You can't ask a line to protect on plays that you don't feel like it can handle. And the Bengals front 7 isn't quite as menacing as LA's was. So, and you would like to see them get some play action passing going. Certainly they established the run game. They get that going a little bit early on against Cincinnati, and you feel like there will be windows open for some play action shots where Andy Dalton can look downfield.
Who's your 5th left tackle? Just, I mean, I'm serious. Who would be your backup?
Alex Bars. I'm not predicting it, but if Alex Bars somehow ended up there instead of Wilkinson, I wouldn't bat an eye. I mean, it would not shock me.
It might be better.
Well, I mean, listen, they deemed very early on in camp that Wilkinson, signed as a swing tackle, wasn't someone they wanted to really look at left tackle because right. They started to sign Peters the process before preseason game number 1.
Right. Yeah, not ideal.
All right. And then Cody Whitehair eventually. I mean, I'm just saying emergency.
You don't want to move Whitehair.
No, but 2 more guys go down.
I'll work on that for later this week to get you a 6th left tackle.
Thanks, Brad.
Who's the 6th left tackle?
and who's going to come back first? Tevin Jenkins, Jason Peters?
Yeah.
Or Larry Borum?
Yeah. It's a good question. All right, Bigsy. Bless you, buddy.
Hopefully Peters is back this week. See you guys.
Okay. Really? Peters back this week? That would be something.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm just dealing with that in my mind. I'm not saying it's impossible. Do you have a quad bandage?
It's a bad situation. It affects everything that you do and everything about the quarterback, everything about the deep passing game, everything about the offense.
If I think of Elijah Wilkinson at left tackle, I want to get to Alex Bars. I'm not kidding. Like, I just don't think he can play that position. We've seen that a little bit.
Right.
It's ugly. Mully and Haw on the score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mully and Haw. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Couple of tight ends, receivers tight to the formation. Bears fill the box. Snap. Stafford extends the hand out. Nope, it's a fake and a bootleg with plenty of time. He's going to throw deep down the field. He's got Van Jefferson inside the Bear 20-yard line. No one touched him. Picks it up 10. Five into the end zone with a touchdown. I don't think anybody touched him. That'll be a 67-yard LA Ram touchdown.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So we all saw the play. We all saw two veteran safeties miss. Maybe one guy assuming the other guy was going to get him. I think it's on Eddie Jackson. He was the second guy there. Get your hands on him. Whatever, he got up and he scored a touchdown. And Matt Nagy, let's take a listen to how he responded to that play when asked about it yesterday.
I haven't talked to Eddie or T. Gipp yet, but I know what those guys are about. I know how much they care. And it's not about gray space for them. It's not about being nonchalant. That's not what this is. It's for them just to next time they get in that situation, just be more aggressive and make sure that they touch them down and they'll do that. And, you know, once they put that together, they make a play on it and they're able to make sure that he is down and there is no touchdown. But it's a learning tool for them. And I know that they'll fix it and they'll be better for it.
Can't believe that it was Monday afternoon and Matt Nagy had yet to address that incident, that play, with either safety directly.
Well, I mean, Biggsy said they had the day off, so they were all sleeping in after the late night flight. I mean, I think you can call a guy up at home and just say, hey, I'm watching this. You know what? You know, you better
Mully,
get in here.
They lost 34-14. I'm in the locker room after the game.
I agree.
And I am directly having a conversation in a football is a collision sport. It's also a confrontational sport.
That's exactly right.
You've got to get in somebody's face at some point in time.
How do you let that go at halftime?
I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that. You know what, though? It does. You hear Matt Nagy, and you respect the way that he basically manages, and this is his leadership style. But you can't help but, after yesterday, hearing from Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, after Julio Jones, Pro Bowl wide receiver Julio Jones, committed a personal foul penalty that made 3rd and 1, 3rd and 16, and this was Vrabel's response to that.
Critical mistake. You know, I don't think that those are absolutely – that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. So that would fall under the category of doing dumb that hurts the team right there in bold letters. Goes from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16.
If it's Sean Desai that is supposed to address that, then just say it. Just if you're Matt Nagy and you don't deal with anything defense, just say, hey, Sean is dealing with that. Believe me, he's been on him.
I haven't talked to Eddie or T. Gipp yet.
You can do that if your defensive coordinator is Vic Fangio and you are in your first year as a head coach. If you are in year 4 as a head coach, you've got to act like a head coach. You are not the play caller who happens to also be the head coach. You're the head coach who also happens to call plays.
David, so that Wednesday, would fall under the category. 11:45 Wednesday, David.
What's that?
Matt Nagy's not available, but the coordinators are. And yep. he'll be filling in for himself. It's ridiculous. You are so right. He has to. You have to address it.
What if you said, what if you just said, Sean was very articulate about that on the headset?
I know that Sean is teaching those guys the right thing to do, and I know that those guys will definitely learn from it.
Look, I think that we can make too much and overstate the significance yes. of one single play, one single snap. But, Mully, I do think if it's fair to wonder, we talk about culture all the time, and the Bears certainly do. And when you talk about culture and the good things that you create in an environment that is conducive to winning, you also have to wonder, when you have a response like this, what kind of culture you're creating in terms of enabling players to not have this kind of accountability or the fear of repercussion. We saw it happen with the Cubs. I'm sorry. We saw it happen with complacency creeping in. This is how you prevent it. You nip these things in the bud. You go full Vrabel on the next guy to step out of line without fear of hurting his feelings or overreacting.
I think there's a lot to say about this. I think that they put themselves in a trick box, because when they did their goofy Four Bears news conference at the end of the year, they came out and said that they were the envy of the league, that the character of their team made them the people wish they had what was going on in our locker room and their locker room. That's what they said. And you can't say that. Biggs is right. You can't say that when you then have nobody turn up for your off-season program. You can't say that when you're not doing every extra thing to support the guy that was promoted from your position coach to the defensive coordinator. If you're Eddie Jackson and you really believe that he helped you get to a point where you got that contract and you're living on easy street, don't you show up in the offseason and support the guy? And don't you encourage your teammates to do the same? So the very fact that they didn't do that en masse underscores this sort of big lie the Bears are selling you, which is that we have better character, we have better chemistry, we have better locker room than other teams in the NFL. We are the envy of other teams in the NFL. You can't just say that to mouth it and then have no support for it, and then you don't put in the extra time, and then you don't make a basic play on the opening game of the season.
If they're the envy of the NFL, it's because players look at the Bears and they say, look what they can get away with.
That is the sad reality, isn't it? You know there's no accountability. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We know that our listener line is presented by the fine folks, the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's try Eddie. Eddie is on the road. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, boys. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, we're just calling. I can't say this. I'm like speechless. Like I don't know, what to think. Eddie Jackson is just, I don't understand. So if the Bears were to cut Eddie Jackson, how much money would the Bears be on the hook for?
They could not cut Eddie Jackson. The cap hit, the dead cap money would be $23,640,000.
Yeah. You're not cutting him. No, you're not stuck
yeah.
with him. But if that was your reaction, it would be an overreaction. You don't have to cut everybody who makes a mistake. You just have right. to make sure they understand that that's not an acceptable response to a play like that.
So that would fall under the category of doing dumb.
Yeah, you would if you tried to get out of it next year, there'd still be $18,560.
You've created too many other problems under your salary cap to be able to do anything about Eddie Jackson except for just grin and bear it.
No, you could get rid of him after the 2023 season, and it would only be a 5.58.
Don't get rid of him. Don't consider getting rid of him. Consider not fixing him, but coaching him.
Well,
but shaping him, but making him into the kind of player he used to be.
Eddie is 29 years old now. Can you believe that?
Is he 29?
He's apparently 29 years old. Is that accurate?
I gotta check that. I'm not doubting you, but I guess I'm surprised he's that age.
2021, his age is listed as 29 years. I'm looking at his contract. Check his birthday.
December 10th, 1993. So he's 27, will be 28 in December.
28. Okay, so that's inaccurate. That's good. Still, he's a grown-ass man who's been in the league a long time and has no business.
Veteran safety.
Thank you.
Not rookie.
Let's try Ted. Ted's listening online. Oh, my God.
Hello, gentlemen. Happy Tuesday. I just wanted to say I don't want Fields starting, mainly for the reason of the fact that Pace and Nagy can get a renewed contract. I don't want Fields showing all his abilities and the McCaskies thinking, hey, let's just keep Pace and Nagy around because I think they do that.
Wow.
It's going to be absolutely terrible.
That's like funny mirror Danny, right? Danny wants the Bears to lose in order to get to Justin Fields. You want the Bears to lose with Andy Dalton in order to fire the general manager and the coach. Everyone's got an agenda.
Yeah. Thanks for the phone call. I think you just have to accept the fact that you have a good reality. You have a franchise quarterback in the making. You may not be happy about who is, you know, developing that quarterback, but he is going to be something special in time.
Oh yeah. No
question.
Time.
And whether he plays this year or not, how much he plays this year or not, I'm not sure it's connected to the futures of Ryan Pace. Maybe Matt Nagy, but I don't think Ryan Pace.
312-644-6767. I'm going to stay with the phone calls.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
They put him
in already. He's the coach. He's the head coach.
He says no. They put him in already. They put him in last night. And that's the plan. And I think that they're
What's the plan?
The plan is to guard the big picture and to not break this quarterback before they believe he's ready.
Right.
Look, let's go through all the drafts the last 10, 20, 30 years, and let's look at all the first-round draft picks that were put into the lineup, especially in this day and age where people want results instantaneously and see the quarterback broken before he has the chance to develop. What about the guys that have chances on the bench? Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. There are a lot of them who sat there and waited and learned.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is Adam Schefter on ESPN's Monday night pregame. And he talked about the plan to guard Justin Fields.
Yeah, Adam Schefter relying on some information that he probably obtained from somebody maybe at Hallis Hall. Jay Glazer also yesterday, an NFL insider from Fox, he described a plan that involved waiting until week four to maybe play Justin Fields, and maybe the Bears are coming off that a little bit. Everybody's going to have an interpretation based on information of somebody whispering that to them or sharing something. The plan will come into place. I'm not quite sure. We have been consistent what the hurry is. I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I think it's certainly going to happen this season in the first quarter maybe of the season.
Sure.
But there seems to be this impatience level that is reflected in the public. We'll get to the callers because everybody wants to talk about the quarterback.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding, to be honest with you. 312-644-6767, Collier's in Dalton. Hey, Collier.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right. The defensive back techniques is all messed up. Eddie Jackson came up to make a tackle, doing 100 miles per hour. Not once did he break down, open his legs to get his face to get set for the tackle and miss the tackle. And I see them do that constantly. That is a no-no as a DB.
Well, who's the DB coach? Who is the guy that coached him? I'm just throwing it out there. I believe he's now the defensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken. Bob is on the road. Good morning, Bob. Was that two? Was that two?
Yeah,
a little bit. Hey, Bob.
All right.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Here's the thing, right? We've been talking about this Justin Fields, Andy Dalton situation for, I don't know, it seems like forever now. But the whole, and I've been on the idea of start Andy Dalton just because I don't want to get Justin Fields killed. Like, literally, I don't want to get him hurt really bad. It's a very dangerous situation out there.
Yeah.
But if the coach isn't going to run his, you know, complicated, I'm using air quotes, and which is just bad offense, and all he's going to do is call plays that protect the quarterback, then I want to see Justin Fields. Like, everybody's mad at the defense, but that Rams team is going to put up 30 points against most teams. 14 points a game is going to make you 0-17. Like, it just, it makes no sense. Either you're going to run your offense or you're going to protect the quarterback.
You can't start
the less athletic quarterback and then shorten your playbook at the same time. It doesn't make any sense. If Andy Dalton can run the plays, then run the plays. Call the play. If it's a five-step drop, then he knows to check to find the blitzer. I mean, Andy Dalton knows what to do. Call the play. I mean, you gotta have a game plan that's gonna win a game, not get the quarterback killed. If you're gonna do that, then give me Justin Fields because he's got to learn at some point. And Andy Dalton is
Thanks, Bob. Yeah. So basically, he's in favor of seeing Justin Fields, putting him in harm's way. Because
I think what he's saying is play Justin Fields and tell him to get rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds.
Yeah, that's easier said than done.
Well,
it really is.
He's not going to do that because he's going to try to make a play. And that's putting him in harm's way.
What we are not going to hear from Matt Nagy is that maybe Justin Fields still needs a little bit more time to watch, to learn, and to feel like he can, you know, get rid of the ball when he needs to get rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds. Andy Dalton got rid of the ball faster than any NFL quarterback in the league in week one, according to the advanced analytics.
Yes.
That's not necessarily a thing to be proud of as an offensive play caller.
Andy Dalton had to get rid of
but
the ball.
But he had to.
That's right.
So do you really want to put your prized possession, the most important player in your franchise, in that situation and environment?
Is that what you want to teach him?
I don't know that it's what you want to teach
him. Get rid of the ball faster. Get rid of the ball. What are you doing? Why are you using your skill
set? To what end?
Is
it because you're on your way to the Super Bowl this year?
Well,
no, you're not a very good football team. You're not going anywhere in 2021. So you better start to worry about 2022 and beyond. And the best way to do that is to make sure that Justin Fields progresses at the right rate.
Let's try Jock. He's in Elmwood Park. Hey, Jock.
Morning, gentlemen. Chicago fan, 20 years. It's just one of these things where we keep seeing the same thing over and over again. The Cubs just did it. I think the Bears are going to have to do it. Just rip the darn Band-Aid off at this point. I think the quarterback situation, obviously we have something to look forward to. Running back situation, obviously we have something to look forward to. But that is not the only two things wrong with this team. Just an upgrading quarterback, it's not going to help us. We're still going to be under 500 regardless. What's the point of even playing? Why do we even play to be a mediocre team? Every team in Chicago has been mediocre for 20 years. I can name one franchise, the Blackhawks, that have actually impressed me over 20 years. We did a one and done with the Cubs. We're not going to do anything with the Bears this year. I'm tired of it. It's getting crazy. Every Chicago team is playing the same way. Every front office has the same mentality. And it's crazy. We're going to have a Chicago fan uprising here. Everyone's going to have to occupy all the GM front offices at some point. Gentlemen, good luck to you. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Well, thanks for the phone call. But really, I understand your Bears angst. Really, we do. But it's not really applicable to the other teams in town. Look at the White Sox, goodness sakes. I mean,
yeah,
they are.
All right. Hey, the Cubs, I mean, what?
Yeah.
How many years ago did they win?
Five.
It's not 20.
Only five.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It feels like 20. I get it. Let's try Paul. Paul's on the road.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Morning, Paul.
So the first thing I saw when I was watching the game is how long it takes Matt Nagy to get the play call in. You know, by the time he's done getting the play call in, and then the quarterback spits it out to the receivers, they're rushing up to the line. The guy's got no chance to survey the defense or even try and figure out where he's going to go with the ball because he doesn't have the time to because Nagy can't get the play in on time. I guess it has nothing to do with the plays he's actually calling because, well, we don't know if they're going to work because they're always rushing up to the line. And I haven't seen any commentators or anybody really talk about that. So I think if he could just figure out his play calls and speed it up a little bit, we might see a little bit of an improvement. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call. So the mechanics of the play calling are in question, according to a fan watching it unfold. I don't know that I noticed that as much, Mully. I just think that there's I think you're asking for problems when you are the head coach also calling plays, and that just bears repeating until it changes. I'm not sure it's going to change.
You know, I think what's weird is when you're the head coach calling plays, but you get a six-game losing streak, so you take yourself out of the role of calling plays – you kind of turn things around, and then you come back, and you know what? Now I'm ready to call plays again. That's the weird part of the
whole
thing.
It is weird. You fix things because they were broken, and then you went back to doing things the way they were when you broke them.
Yeah. So that's a hard one to get
past. It's a hard thing logically to defend, I would think.
Yeah.
And yet it was a decision that was really largely overlooked in the offseason, made – last April when we had a lot of other things on our minds, perhaps. But it was kind of like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to take play calling duties back.
It's just odd. Let's tie it up with Daryl. He's listening on the Odyssey app.
Hey, guys, I just want to make a point about the offensive line and the running game. I think this is David Montgomery's third year, and it took this long to unleash his talent. And we brought in Castillo, and he is coaching up the talent that they do have on the offensive line. I don't think that has anything to do with Nagy. Nagy held back David Montgomery's development, and I think he's doing the same thing with Justin Fields. And you're going to say that he can't read defenses or we want him to be able to stand in the pocket. He's athletic. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the same skill set as Andy Dalton. So you want him to be a quarterback like Andy Dalton?
Well, that's Daryl. What you're saying is exactly like this idea that we talked about with Olin, that these guys see the pocket from – they see the game from the pocket. They see the game as a pocket passer. They don't see the game as – and I don't know how you're supposed to.
And they are wedded to a scheme that is not as important when you have a quarterback of Justin Fields' talent.
That's right. Yeah, run a single wing. And be done with it. All right, we're going to bring in Coach Wannstedt. We'll talk to Dave Wannstedt next, and he did a great job of telling us how to use Justin Fields, and spot on, dare I say, and we'll ask him if that should now become the way he's used, period, end of story. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.